This week, there's been a lot of focus on men found guilty of serious assaults not doing any jail time. So how is it that judges arrive at their sentencing decisions and in some cases decide to entirely suspend a sentence? Well, let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.
Hello and welcome to Let Me Explain, a News Talk original podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on whatever platform it is you're listening on. Now, this week there has been protest and no shortage of anger about the fully suspended sentence given to Defence Forces member Cathal Crotty for his assault on Limerick woman Natasha O'Brien. There have been protests across the country at what a lot of people see as too lenient a sentence. So how do judges arrive at the sentences they give? Are there set rules or is it really in the hands of whoever is sitting in the chair? News Talk's courts correspondent Frank Rainey has sat through hundreds of trials and explains the big picture of what a judge takes into account.
There is, with offences like the one that Cathal Crotty admitted to, assault causing harm to Natasha O'Brien, there is a level of discretion, but a judge's hands are tied by the legislation. In the sense that assault causing harm falls under Section 3 of the Non-Fatal Assaults Against the State Act, and the maximum penalty that a judge can impose in a case of that nature is 5 years in prison. So that's the maximum penalty, so they can't go beyond that, obviously. Now, when you speak broadly about how a judge will arrive at a sentence, obviously they'll take a look at the maximum penalty first, that'll be a starting point. But they must look at two things, and this is really important, and this is something that I think people may not or may struggle to get their heads around, because it's not just the offence. Obviously, that's very important. Judge Tom O'Donnell would have taken a very close look at what Cathal Crotty did and admitted doing to Natasha O'Brien, but he would have also taken a very close look at the person who committed that offence. He would have taken a very close look at Cathal Crotty. And there are also, I should say, a number of key pillars when it comes to sentencing criminals in this country. These pillars aim to ensure that a sentence, when handed down, is carefully constructed, that it's appropriate, that it's fair, and that it's proportionate to the crime. And it also takes into account the circumstances of the offender, as I said, and the interests of society in general. And those pillars can be summed up as retribution. So obviously, when somebody commits a crime in this country, there is a punishment element to the sentence. An offender must be punished to, I suppose, satisfy the public sense of justice and also to show the offender that actions have consequences. Another very important pillar when it comes to constructing a sentence is rehabilitation. This focuses on, I suppose, showing the offender the error of their ways, and also to give them the time and the tools to become a better person in the hope that they don't reoffend. That is not only in the best interests of the offender and the victim or a survivor of crime, but also it's in the best interests of society in general that you don't have people going in and out of prison for the same offences, sadly put into practice. That doesn't always work, but it is a very important pillar that a sentencing judge will have to take into account. There's obviously also deterrent. This aims to prevent others from committing similar crimes. For example, if somebody gets a lengthy sentence for doing a certain crime like assault causing harm, it may deter others from doing it. It essentially makes an example of an offender in the hope that that will act as a warning to others. And there is also obviously an important element that the judge must consider is the protection of the public. This is particularly relevant when it comes to dangerous and violent criminals. It's sometimes in the best interests of the public, to which law enforcement and the judiciary serve, to take that dangerous criminal off the streets, often for a long time. So there is an awful lot that a judge has to consider. And again, for something like assault causing crime, they are causing harm, they are constrained by the maximum penalty set down by our lawmakers.
So the ceiling is set by law, but within that, how much wiggle room does a judge have? You may know Ivana Bacik as the leader of the Labour Party, but she's also a barrister and a professor of criminal law. And she says it's surprisingly hard to get good data on why judges give the sentences they give.
Sentencing practice in Ireland has always been you know, a combination of the judge's regard to the maximum penalty set by law, which is generally set in legislation, a few offences where you've had a sort of historic common law sentencing maximum, and some sort of, you know, where it's now in statute, like, for example, the life mandatory life sentence for murder. But most offences have a maximum penalty set by statute. So that's the first thing the judge looks to. But then, of course, it's the what's been described by some academics as an instinctive synthesis of the judge's experience, the precedent that's been established through other similar cases, and then regard to the maximum sentence, and always guided by aggravating and mitigating factors. Insofar as there was ever any sort of overriding principle for sentencing in Ireland, it's been the principle of proportionality, that the sentence given should be proportionate to the crime committed in the circumstances and the context of the crime. We don't traditionally have mandatory sentences, other practice mandatory sentences, other than the mandatory life sentence for murder. So a murder conviction automatically carries a life sentence, which is indefinite, indeterminate. But generally it's a maximum penalty, and the judge then looks at that, looks at the aggravating and mitigating factors, often takes what they describe as sort of headline figure that would be the norm, and then looks whether they go up or down from that. Now, the Judicial Council Act of 2019 was supposed to bring a bit more coherency and consistency to sentencing practice. The Judicial Council has power to set sentencing guidelines. There's been some criticism in recent days that they haven't done so yet. They have, however, at least started preparing data. So a lot of the problem, and as a practitioner, as an academic, I've always been really critical of the lack of information on sentencing. So a judge should be able to look to, well, what did another judge in a similar case give? But there was a lack of actual accessibility to the information, because sentence decisions are not published, you know, in the way that, say, a judgment of the Supreme Court is published. So the Judicial Council has started gathering data. They have published some very useful guideline judgments. So, for example, for the causing of serious harm, that very high level of assault, there's now a series of guideline judgments that give a sort of a list of the aggravating and mitigating factors a judge should take into account. We've got a whole series of decisions also, the Supreme Court, the Court of Criminal Appeal, which do set out broad principles. For example, that there must be some mitigation of sentence for a guilty plea, for example. Although you have to have regard to when the plea was entered. You know, was it very late in the day? Was it on the door? You know, for example, on the door as the jury were being impaneled. You know, that would carry less weight than a guilty plea right at the start of the proceedings, which would spare the victim the trauma. So there's all of those factors. And over the years, some very brave survivors like Lavinia Kerwick coming forward to speak about their re-victimisation, the experience of being victimised in court, that has led to some important reforms, like the power of the DPP to appeal sentences on grounds of undue leniency, and like the victim impact statement, which a judge can take into account then in sentencing in cases where there's been an offensive harm caused to a victim.
So is there a full list of mitigating factors that a judge can consider to reduce the length of a sentence, or can they use anything as a mitigating factor?
The issue is that that judges have a sort of established set of mitigation factors, but they're not set down in any statute. So if you were to say to me, well, where is that list? You'll find various different iterations of a list of potential mitigation factors in, for example, the sort of guideline judgments I've referred to. So, just looking at, here we are, the Judicial Council have done this, as I said, this overview on a number of offences where there have been key judgments given and what the judges have said. So let's look at, you know, they've, for example, assault causing serious harm. They say such an offence should carry a headline sentence of 2 to 4 years before mitigating factors are taken into account, where the offence is in the low range of seriousness. Now, again, how you interpret that? Well, they go on to say, you know, the judgments have established that the judge must look at the severity or level of viciousness of the assault, the level of injury sustained, the level of culpability or blame attaching to the accused, and the general circumstances of the assault. And all of this they've derived from a case called People Against Fitzgibbon from 2014, where the Court of Criminal Appeal set out those general parameters relating to assault causing serious harm. So that's And then there's other judgments like Fitzgibbon relating to other sorts of offence, for example, the offence of dangerous driving causing death, where a judge can look back and say, here's a published appeal judgment, because appeal judgments are published, the original sentencing decision is not. And they look back at the appeal judgment and they say, ah, here's a list. But for lesser assaults, you know, we don't have that published set of guidelines. But again, the judge can extrapolate. The problem, and you know, I said this in the Dáil yesterday, I think there is a particular problem around the practice of suspension of a sentence. And the problem there is that that's where there's very little guidance for judges. A judge is looking at the headline penalty and saying, well, this offence warrants a 3-year immediate custodial sentence, which is the formula we use for prison. And but they can then say, but I'm looking at, you know, the accused character, I'm looking at the circumstances, and I think that this, that I will suspend. Now, the practice of suspending the last part of a sentence, for example, a sentence of 3 years for a crime causing harm, causing injury, a judge might well say, I'm going to give, where an offender has no previous convictions, has pleaded guilty, they might well say, I'll suspend the last 6 months or even the last 12 months to give the prospect of hope. It's regarded as a rehabilitative measure and it takes into account context and character. But the problem here is that suspension, we don't have really guidance on the practice of suspending sentences and what criteria should be used. And as Tom O'Malley has said this week, it is unusual for a sentence to be suspended, a custodial sentence to be suspended in its entirety, where the offence is one of violence, where a victim has been caused harm. So, you know, that is unusual. But again, where is the guidance on suspension, on how a judge approaches the practice of suspension? And that's something I've called in the Minister for Justice to initiate a review into, because I do think that practice of suspension is really, can be very problematic.
What about then the specifics of Natasha O'Brien's case? Because for a lot of people, it's hard to understand how a sentence like this could be fully suspended. Frank Rainey wasn't in court for Judge Tom O'Donnell's ruling, but has been over at the case notes.
Judge Tom O'Donnell would have obviously taken a look at the offence. So we would have taken a look at what Cathal Crotty did to Natasha O'Brien. He had some comments in relation to that. He described it as an utterly appalling, unprovoked attack. We've heard all of the details from Natasha herself, who gave evidence of being beaten on the streets of Limerick as she tried to stop him from provoking other men on the streets. They were not known to each other. The judge would have taken all of this into account. He would have taken into account the fact that she had a broken nose, all of the other injuries she suffered, both physical and psychological, because she has been traumatized by what happened to her. So the judge would have looked at all of that, and then he would have arrived at what's known as a headline sentence. So a headline sentence is essentially a sentence that the judge lands on when taking a look at just the offence. So he's not looking at the surrounding circumstances in relation to the offender. He's not looking at mitigating factors. It is a starting point. And the starting point that Judge Tom O'Donnell landed on in terms of a headline sentence in relation to this case specifically was 5 years. So as I mentioned earlier, and the maximum penalty for assault causing harm, as set down by the lawmakers of this country, is 5 years in prison. So the judge decided initially that this was so serious that the headline sentence should be the maximum penalty of 5 years. He then took a look at all of the surrounding circumstances. He took a look at the mitigating factors in the case. He took a look at the fact that he had pleaded guilty to the offence. And that is, as is the case with all criminal cases, that is the most important mitigating factor, because it saves the victim or a survivor of a crime the trauma and the ordeal of the trial process, of potentially having to give evidence before a judge and jury, of potentially being cross-examined by a defence barrister. So that's very important. And in general, a 20% discount is given to somebody who pleads guilty. So that is significant. In Cathal Crotty's case, that would have immediately shaved 1 year off his 5-year sentence. So then he has 4 years. And what the judge did then after that was he took a look at whether or not Cathal Crotty had any previous convictions. He doesn't. He would have looked at his character before the night that he attacked Natasha. The court heard that he was of previous good character. There was evidence given by one of his superior officers in the Irish Defence Forces who described him as an exemplary, a courteous, professional and disciplined officer. So the judge would have taken that evidence into account. And also the fact that he has shown some remorse. He is, in his own words, ashamed and embarrassed by what he did. And he did, through his barrister, offer an apology to Natasha in court at his sentence hearing. Obviously, an awful lot of aggravating factors in this case. The judge would have been very aware of that. He would have taken them into account when calculating an appropriate sentence. The severity of the assault, the level of injury sustained, as I mentioned a moment ago, the level of culpability of Cathal Crotty, Also, the unprovoked, the nature of the attack, the fact that it was unprovoked, unprovoked attacks will always attract harsher punishments than ones where there's maybe an element of provocation. The fact that he ran away afterwards, that would have gone against him. The fact that he initially blamed Natasha, suggesting that she had instigated the attack. Now, he did take that back. He did say that that wasn't true. And also, I think something that the judge would have had to take into account was the breach of a duty of care. He is, as it stands, a member of the Irish Defence Forces. He has a duty of care to citizens of this country. As a soldier, he's expected to keep people safe. So Gardaí and soldiers, in my opinion, should be held to a higher standard when it comes to these kind of things. They have a duty to take care of the public.
So after considering all of that, Judge O'Donnell reduced the jail term from 5 years to 3 years, but then opted to suspend the entire sentence, meaning no jail time. We've already heard Ivana Bacsik say that this is unusual to have an entire sentence suspended, but we've seen it in a number of assault cases recently, and from the outside it seems increasingly common. What about to those who are in the courts every day?
It's not that usual that in a case like this somebody would walk free having been handed a fully suspended sentence. I know we're not comparing like with like, but just this week I covered another case, albeit in Dublin Circuit Criminal Court, a man who punched a woman in the emergency department of St. James's Hospital, a completely unprovoked attack. He knocked her to the ground. He then attacked a delivery, a food delivery driver who called to his house the very next day. He was jailed for 3.5 years. They were also assaults causing harm. Now, in that case, and this is, I suppose, where it's important to acknowledge that no two cases are the same, this person was not a member of the Irish Defence Forces, had 52 previous convictions. So each case, I suppose, is treated on its own merits. But I did think that it was remarkable that a member of the Irish Defence Forces could do something like what Carl Crotty did to Natasha O'Brien. And the fact that he was a member of the Irish Defence Forces could then be used as a mitigating factor in the case. Because in my opinion, that's actually an aggravating factor, as I said earlier, that somebody who is, I suppose, trained and has a duty to serve the public, to serve Irish citizens, to inflict an assault on that completely unprovoked attack, an innocent bystander who was just trying to help a fellow Irish citizen. So I suppose taking all of that into account, I thought it was remarkable that Carl Crotty walked free from court that day and won't serve a day in prison for what he did to Natasha.
So given we now know that even judges have difficulty accessing the reasoning behind some of the sentencing decisions their colleagues have made, is there a danger that these high-profile cases with fully suspended sentences will now set a precedent for it to happen again? Ivana Bacsik thinks Natasha O'Brien's case has raised that very problem.
She's undoubtedly highlighted a real issue, a real problem in the law, which is that if a sentence like this is given down, it has a series of impacts. And as you've said, there's a worry, first of all, that it will feed into a sort of a development of a whole precedent whereby other judges will do the same thing. You know, as far as we know, this is an unusual sentence, and that's partly why it's caused the outcry. But again, let's look at the practice of suspension. Let's see how many sentences where a crime of violence has been committed in the last year have been fully suspended. And you know, the fact that we don't know that itself is a problem.
That is insane to me, that a very prominent barrister who's also a professor of criminal law, who also leads one of the country's major political parties, can't get access to information about how many assault cases were met with suspended sentences. I mean, that someone that embedded in the system can't get the answers to what should be a relatively simple question poses huge questions, I think, about how these decisions are being made. One final bit I want to touch on in this episode is character references, because if we look at cases like the one involving Limerick hurler Kyle Hayes, who was found guilty of violent disorder and had his sentence suspended, or the Carl Crotty case, or a number of others, character references were hugely important, and coming from figures within the GAA and the Defence Forces, positions of authority, they were considered as mitigating factors. So how much weight does the good word of a friend or a colleague or a boss count?
It's hard to tell because we don't get that level of detail when it comes to passing sentence in open court, but it is hard to tell how much weight a judge will give those character references. I know in other jurisdictions, character witnesses will actually give evidence at trial. They're often called on behalf of the defence, and that may feature in jury deliberations. But in this country, more often than not, they're reserved for the sentencing process. as to how much weight that a judge gives those character references, again, I'm unsure. Some judges will say that it merely acts as a guide and that it has very little weight at all. But again, I suppose without having a look over a judge's shoulder as they're crafting that sentence, it is very hard to tell how much weight an individual judge will give a character reference.
New legislation is also in the works regarding character references to ensure that when someone is being sentenced for sexual offences, they must be given under oath and the person giving a character reference can be cross-examined. Natasha O'Brien herself has called for minimum sentencing in assault cases so that a certain amount of jail time would have to be served. And she appeared in the public gallery of the Dáil this week, where she was given a standing ovation as she tried to put pressure on politicians.
We are on your side.
And I have to admit it reminded me of clapping for nurses during the pandemic, with many of those nurses then having to wait months and months for their COVID bonus and who still find themselves underpaid and overworked. I hope this case isn't like that and that some change does come when it comes to how female and male victims of assault are treated. And I'd highly recommend going back and listening to Natasha O'Brien's interview with Andrea Gilligan on Lunchtime Live. I think she's not going to let this go, and nor should she. And particularly interesting, something that would be worth a whole other podcast in itself, how victims are treated by the criminal justice system. I thought it was shocking that Natasha O'Brien said if she had to relive one of the experiences, either being assaulted or having to go through the court process, she'd pick the assault. Such was the trauma that she had to go through, and she's not alone, unfortunately, when it comes to victims of serious crime. I think we will probably see the DPP appeal the leniency of the sentence given to Cathal Crotty, so this is by no means over. I've been Sean Defoe, presenting and producing this week. Please do share the episode with people who you think might be interested, and I'll catch you here again next week.
Let Me Explain with Sean Defoe, a News Talk original.